In the name of Jesus, amen. Tonight we meditate on our Lenten disciplines. We believe in Jesus Christ. And we trust in His Word. Therefore, we submit our flesh to the Spirit. We consider all the things in us and in our lives which challenge and oppose God's Word and keep its power from having its intended effect in us and in our lives. Tonight, we meditate upon the Lenten disciplines of fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. Fasting, you heard tonight from our Lord's Gospel. He says, and when you fast, not if, but when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly, that is, on the last day. First he says, don't be like the hypocrites. And we've been talking about this word in a couple different scenarios, in different classes and sermons, and individual counsel, right? A hypocrite to the world is one who says something, but does another. In that definition, all people are hypocrites. For we all have a standard of living, whether it's divinely ordained or personally ordained, and we all fall short. But that's not what Jesus is saying here. The biblical understanding of hypocrite is one who says something, but doesn't believe it. Not that you fall short of it, because we all fall short of the glory of God, but that you don't even believe it in the first place. That is, we can replace the word hypocrite, as we find in some translations, which is proper, with the word actor. They put on a face. So I might put on a community play, and I'll be the judge or the police officer or something, right? Some great character. I might say some lines, right, that I don't even believe. I don't believe I'm actually these things, but that these are my words. I'm just putting on a face. And that's what a hypocrite is. One who just puts on a face. And Jesus shows us this, that many people in his day and in ours just put on the Christian face, but don't actually believe it. Again, not that you fall short of it, but that you don't even believe it in the first place. And why are they doing these things? To gain their reward. And what is the reward for an actor? The praise of men. But not so for us. We do not seek to please men. St. Paul says, if I'm pleasing, am I pleasing men or is my aim to please God? It is to please God. And so since it is to please God, we do not put on a face in front of men. But we have our fasting, as he says here. We do our fasting in secret, rather than disfiguring our faces and ripping our garments and saying, I'm going through the 40 days of Lent at my church. Yeah, praise me. Aren't I awesome? I'm such a great Christian. No, we don't do that at all. We fast in secret. And to the world, they won't even see it. It's always a funny thing on this night where we put the ashes on our foreheads. Right? Very obvious what we're doing. Right? But we're not parading it around in the streets saying, hey, everyone, look at me. I got my ashes today. Don't do that. That's what Jesus, don't do that. Right? Let your repentance, which is what these ashes signify, our repentance, let these be in secret. Be contrite in your own hearts. And please the Lord. But what about fasting? Jesus says, not if, but when. So he expects us to do it, right? To fast. As he says, as we'll learn on Sunday, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So that's what our fasting really entails. Denying ourselves some daily bread, that we may focus more on what we truly need, which is God's Word. Fasting does a few things for us in our flesh. It curbs our gluttony. We are men and women of habit, and we like tastes, right? And sometimes and oftentimes we overindulge, both in food and in drink. So fasting is teaching our body to deny these temporal pleasures for the sake of the eternal pleasures. Put on Christ. Put this on. Eat the bread of life. This is what you truly need. Keep that flesh submitted to the Spirit's will. Luther will say this about fasting as we read in our small catechism, and I'll read it directly lest I misquote it. Fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training. It's true, it is. And some people, they'll do this. This is part of the Lord's Supper. Some of their traditions are, I won't eat dinner on Saturday and I won't have breakfast on Sunday. So by the time I come Sunday morning, I am hungry. Why would I do such a thing? To teach me spiritually, just as I hunger bodily, how much more do I hunger for the bread of life? So that's a fine outward training, right? It's not mandated on you to do it that way, but that's something that some people do. Hunger physically, that I may understand how really and truly deeply I hunger spiritually, submitting the flesh to the will of the Spirit. So these things are fine. But that person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in these words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So these are fine things to do, but primarily what makes us worthy of receiving the sacrament? Our repentance and forgiveness in Christ. That makes us worthy of receiving the very bread of life. Fasting does another thing for us. During the season, it teaches us about those who live without food, where their daily bread doesn't come as easily as it does for us. It teaches us to have compassion for them, to share in that same suffering, albeit willingly, so we might have and learn a heart of compassion for those who go without food. And God willing, have opportunities to supply it. Now, this doesn't just do good for the soul. It does also good for the body, fasting. It's a more recent rediscovery of this great discipline. Even the secular world recognizes the great blessing of fasting. They say after about 16 hours, your body goes into what's called, I'm going to misquote it or missay it, autophagy? Where's my doctors around here? Autophagia or something like this, right? In which your body, the cells in your body literally start to repair themselves. But you eat at 15 hours, it's not going to do that. It's got to go a whole 16 hours of not eating food. And by the 16th hour, your body starts to repair itself. It's starting to say, oh, hang on, we need to take care of this, right? Because we're not getting new nutrients. Let's be more efficient. And this is a fascinating thing. You look it up, study it. I'm not going to preach more on it. That's not my vocation. But I'm just showing you. Even physically, it's good for our bodies, not just spiritually. How about how we fast? There's some examples. Now, I'm giving you some examples, not to seek your praise, but because I've done this, right? I've undergone these things. I'm maybe imitate it, but not for praise. I'm not doing that. So take that for what it is. Skipping both breakfast and lunch and then having dinner. Maybe once a week, maybe a couple times a week. Or I've done just skipping breakfast every single day. Well, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, says who? What does God say? When you fast, right? Not if, but when. Okay. So those are some of the things I've done. I've also gone in my upbringing. It was a personal thing that my sister and I went on and did, which was 24 hours, right? And as a kid, you know, that eats you out of house and home. That was hard. 24 hours, no eating. So these are a couple of examples for you. Skipping a meal, or as you can do, having smaller meals. So rather than the big feasts that we often have, we have what's called a pauper's meal, right? A meal of the poor. And maybe just rice and beans, you know. A lot of people live on rice and beans in the world. So having a small meal, maybe removing meats, sweets, you name it, right? Small, nutritious, but small. Now, if you do and pick up this practice of fasting in any capacity, you know yourself, you know what you can do and what you're capable of, but the Lord knows more, right? If you take up this on Sundays, that's the great feast days. Every Sunday in Lent is a high feast. It's always Easter. So on those days, you break that fast, you eat the donuts we have, right? And you enjoy the God's grace and mercy. A little bit of a reprieve during this Lenten time, lest we become too downtrodden. So these are things you can do. And again, what are we doing? We are replacing or subduing or putting aside some food so we may focus more on God's Word. Don't forget that. Otherwise, it's all for naught. Beating down the old flesh, the old Adam, and living by the new man in the Word of God. Now, we can talk about fasting from physical foods, but there are a few other things to consider. Fasting from technology. Fasting from being too busy in your life. This is a great time for Christians to reflect. I've been strung out. I've been burning the candle at both ends. Why? Why? For God or for men? Ask yourself that with all your hobbies and things. What am I doing this for? I'm not against having rest. There's enjoying leisure. These are good things, right? But to keep them and understand them and analyze them and say, am I getting too gluttonous with these things? Am I getting too worked out and anxious about life? And now it's time for me as a Christian to reflect and say, I don't need to do all this stuff. And I actually need to take some rest. The Sabbath day, right? Rest. Rest in God's Word, but rest from your labors. Literally, rest. These are God's gifts to us. Right? The Sabbath day is a gift. It's a gift. So removing technology, some anxiety, some busyness of life, and replacing all these things with God's Word, with good things, with godly desires, reflecting on new desires that we have in Christ, recognizing, what does God want me to yearn for, to strive for? What is it? Each of us has a different thing in some ways. Different vocations, different things that we should be striving for in God, and striving for the sake of our neighbor. So putting away all this other stuff that's getting in the way of that, and focusing our attention on God's Word and what our neighbor actually needs. This is good. And then it's a time for us to build godly habits. Next, Jesus teaches us about prayer. I won't read all of it, since you know some of it already. He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, the actors, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. We always talk about that in Bible class. Send your check off to such and such a TV, like a personality, right? God will grow your bank account. Just send your money my way first, right? These guys are doing it all for praise, right? For money, for mammon, and not for the Lord. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That is, on the last day. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not pray like them, for your Father knows the things you have need. You have things you have need of before you ask Him. So pray in this way: Our Father who art in heaven, so forth. I won't read that. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus teaches us how to pray. So let us pray. You know, let's pray more. These are conversations with God. Conversations we are to have with Him at all times and all places. Sometimes we think prayers are such formal things as we have them in the Lord, in the service of our Lord. But they can be very mundane, simple prayers. And my favorite one all the time is, Lord, have mercy. Anytime anyone tells me something terrible, I might not have the words right away. So my response is, Lord, have mercy. Whether it's out loud or in my head. Praying with God. Because God is with you. He's always with you. And so you can pray for all things and everything. Even the small things, right? Lord, I'm about to go in the store. May my journey here be pleasant. Right? Why not? May I find what I need, right? And not drop all the tomatoes on the floor like I did last time. Those little tiny ones, right? And then look. Oh, no. And nice people help me out. Anyway, right? So learning to pray even for the small things in life, having a conversation with God, because he's right there with you all the time. He's not gone anywhere. And so just talk with him. We think about always having this inner dialogue with ourselves, right? People have that. Some people don't. There is a few people that don't. But most people have an inner dialogue. You're constantly in your head all day talking to yourself. Why are you talking to yourself? Talk to the one who hears you, right? And actually gives you good things. Of yourself, you can do nothing. But with him, you can do all things. So pray. Pray to him. Talk to him. Just conversations. Part of prayer in this season, we learn to increase our devotional life. This is an introduction then for like daily devotions. I print off a few of these. They're in the back. So feel free to pick them up. It's a devotion for every day of Lent. To read more of God's Word. Just set a little bit of time aside for yourself or for your family, for your wife. And study God's Word together. Pray. Sing. Meditate on these things. You can also pick up Lutheran podcasts or Lutheran sermons you can listen to online. These are also wonderful things for us to do. And Lutheran radio, listening to good hymns rather than the junk on the radio today. Even the Christian junk on there. Right? Not that it's all bad, but most of it is lacking in substance. It is milk and not solid food. It's a time for us to increase our family devotions. To consider praying in the morning with our children or in the evening. To praying for our meals. If you don't do that, let's start doing it. Even the simple one. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest and let thy gifts to us be blessed. Right? And then pray after the meal. And I heard this from President Hill, our district president. He's like, yeah, my practice, and I encourage for all of you, and I just talked with him yesterday. After you're done eating, pray a closing prayer. Whatever it may be. And Luther teaches this one, or they say it's Lutheran. What is it, Alyssa? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Put on the spot here. I didn't write all this down, okay? So just a simple prayer, right? Just a simple thing. We're starting to do that now, because I wasn't before, but this is something I want to pick up with my family. And then no one gets to leave the table until the prayer. After the prayer, everyone's free to go. If you want to stay and chit-chat for a little while longer, let's do so. But until then, you're sitting and you're going to talk with the family. Right? And it sounds hard at first, but it's actually a joyful thing, right? To have conversations with our family. It's wonderful. So meals evening, morning, before and after. Praying collects from the hymnal. If you don't have a hymnal at home, strive to get one, because there's tons of collects in there, and those are the collected prayer of the church. So if you're learning to pray, yes, the Lord's Prayer is good. These other Lutheran prayers we have in the small catechism, great. But there's also other ones for us for different needs and necessities and all things of life. There are a bunch of collects in our hymnal for you. In our time of prayer, we also meditate upon the scriptures. This means memorizing and learning by heart the small catechism, right? Parts of the liturgy. Can't tell you how many times I've heard stories of kids that have gone and heard the liturgy time and time again, and they are singing it at home. It's wonderful to hear that. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Right? A little kid sings that. What a wonderful blessing. Learning psalms, the language of the Christian. The psalms give words to the feelings we have. I don't know my emotions, but God does. And he gives us words and ways to express that. And that's the words of the psalms. From the depths of woe to the highest praises of God. God gives us these words. Maybe memorize or learn by heart some proverbs, some wisdom for daily life. This is good too. Or any other verses of scripture, as we do every Sunday with our Sunday school, we learn a verse, right? We speak it even in service. In all these things, start where you are. You know where you are. And don't be like me going to the gym, right? Oh, it's the new year. I need some 10 pounds from last year I got to take off, right? And I get there, I'm like, right? Or I don't pay money for that. I have a gym at home, kind of. Right? Some weights that are just sitting there collecting dust now, right? But when you start off, you're like, oh, I got some new holy desires, right? Oh. And then by day two, you're like, I'm done. I can't even sit, right? So don't be like that with your spiritual life either. Don't take on too much. I'm not asking you to do that. Jesus certainly doesn't want that for you. To do that much and then get burned out and just give up altogether. Right? Small steps. Just water. Prune a few things.
small things.
And by time and time again, and as you grow in this, you'll be able to, you'll soon all of a sudden be, you know, benching 200 pounds, which I can't do, I don't think. Not anymore. I'll be there like, ah! Anyway. And as we pray for, in our families and things, don't just pray for yourself, but also in this time, remember to pray for others. Remember the people that you run into every day, the people you run into at the store, and just say a prayer for them in your head or out loud, right? Lord, have mercy on so-and-so. Lord, have mercy on them. These are wonderful things to do. So pray, as Jesus teaches us. And lastly, and I know I'm going long, but so what? Almsgiving. It's a wonderful blessing, discipline for us during our Lenten journey together. Jesus says in Matthew 6 here, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." My favorite story of this, a couple years ago, I was in Walmart, not here, different place, and they're asking for charitable gifts at the register, and everyone's like guilty, like, okay, sure, right. I mean, Albertsons ask for it too all the time, too. You want to give $5 to such and such a thing? Yep. And that's a fine thing to do. But here in Walmart at this time, they said, if you give, then we'll ring this bell. So everyone around you knows that you gave. And to encourage more giving. I said, I'll give you money, but don't ring the bell. Jesus says, don't. So don't sound the trumpet. Don't do it to be praised by men. Do it out of compassion and love for the person you're giving it to. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly at the last day. We talk about charity, we talk about, first we think about it as financial terms. Giving more to church, that's something to consider. In your pocketbook and in your finances, have I given back to God in thanksgiving for his gifts? These tithes and offerings, we call them. You can model them certainly after the Old Testament. It was 10% of your earnings. It's not a mandate, but it's certainly an imitation we can strive for. About 10% to give to God's church for the sake of the ministry and for his people. But in all these things, we are to be cheerful givers, not under compulsion or force, right? So to each his own on that. When we give, we also think not only just giving to things in town, like the Women's Resource Center that we're collecting things for, but first and foremost, who are we supposed to take care of? I taught the kids this today. Those of the household of God. So we are taking a collection right now for Chris Roush and for her medical bills. So if the Lord moves your heart to such a thing, consider giving that to her to help her offset her medical bills. When we give these things, we recognize that all of our gifts are from the Lord, from God Himself. They belong to Him. It's His money. You're just a steward of it. So we think, what does He want me to do with it? What is it for? Who is it for? It's all for me, right? No, it's for other people, right? It's not to spend it on our passions, though He does want us to have leisure. But most especially, we are to spend these things and use our money for other people according to His will. If you're thinking, I don't even have any money here, everything's caught up in all these other things, well, reflect on where your money is. What investments are they in right now? And what are they doing there? And what are you supporting? Right? Recognize that. You know, we had the big thing with Thriving a couple months ago. What's going on here? Right? To consider these things. Maybe think about my money that's locked up in my hobbies. Do I need to do those hobbies? If I cut that out, I'll have more to give. Or think about all your subscriptions, Netflix, Hulu, right, all these things. Maybe I should cut some of this stuff out. I didn't watch that for 3 months. Why am I still paying for it? Right? So as we cut these things down, refine ourselves, prune this plant that we are, it'll free up other funds to use for godly purposes for others. Of course, it's not just financial gifts that we're looking for in almsgiving and charity. It's your time and talents. Maybe prep a meal, host someone over for a dinner or a lunch. Be hospitable. Maybe help the ladies or anyone that's serving for the Lenten suppers and things. These are wonderful opportunities for us to house and be hospitable to one another. Take this time during Lent to hone your talents as you serve others. How can I get better at what I already do? Right? These are good things. In all things, comfort, instruct, and train people in righteousness. Support and accompany the gospel. Remember, what are we doing with all this stuff? We are supporting and accompanying the gospel, that in everything, in all our vocations and everything we do, we will be leading people to Christ. So our mercy works are always about also bringing to them the word of the Lord. You want to learn more about how to, become better at your vocation? Look at the table of duties in the back of your catechism. It outlines different things: husbands, wives, children, governors, citizens, pastors, people. Read these things. It's straight God's word. It's just pure word of God there. Read them, learn, and seek to develop these godly vocations that you have by virtue of our Lord. Look over the Ten Commandments. See how they condemn you, and see how you are made anew in Christ Jesus, and now know what your true desires are. During this time of Lent, we learn to spend more time with our family. I'm going to put my phone away. This is my plan, right? I'm putting my phone away at 8 o'clock at night when I tuck my kids into bed. I'm turning it off. So if you reach out to me by then, I'm sorry. Right? I'm putting it away. I'm not going to pick it up until after breakfast in the morning. Put away the distractions. No more scrolling on Facebook or Instagram or looking at videos or whatever, right? Focus more on the family. Focus on other things. This is a great time for us to consider calling our friends and our family. Who is the Lord put into my life? I haven't talked to them in a while. I'm going to call them, just see how they're doing. Speak with coworkers and classmates and pray with them. Pray Our Father if you'd like, or the Collects, or pray an Ex Corde prayer. In all things, let us be intentional in caring for others. Whether in fasting or prayer or in almsgiving, repent and believe in the gospel. God has given us a wonderful life, and we seek to, by this life, submit our flesh to the will of the Spirit and have godly desires as He has given us in Christ Jesus. Finally, and I mean last, let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have sent your Son to be your humble servant and have exalted him as your Lord, as our Lord and God, when you gave him the seat at your right hand in glory. In his name, he has given us the gifts of repentance and faith. Therefore, trusting in our Savior, Jesus Christ, help us to repent of our sins and our ungodly habits. Drown them in our baptism, O Lord, with Christ crucified, and raise us up with him in the newness of life as your beloved children, that we may diligently add to our faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. We beseech you, O Lord, have mercy, that for your Son's sake and by the power of your Spirit we may lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. For where our treasure is, there our heart is also. Even there, in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We stand to